You're listening to
The Homo Homie Podcast,
a podcast dedicated to the queer community that educates, unifies, and bridges gaps.
And a gay crash course 101 for the hetero. I'm your host, Eric V.
And I'm your co-host, Jose Resendez.
A kickback just for you, our homo homies.
So download, stream, and share
to find out what's good in the hood. Hey, what is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Homo Homie Podcast. I'm Eric V, your host, also known as the Homo Homie.
And I'm Jose Resendez.
why did the music stop like that?
I know, I was like, wait a minute, that stopped so abrupt. Oh my gosh, man, it is getting hot in here. It's been a hot day today.
It's because we're drinking.
Yeah, just...
So cheers.
Cheers. We've been working hard, right?
I think... I had to drink because this episode later on, spoiler alert, it's my coming out story, and I needed a little bit of encouragement. But
yeah, speaking about coming out stories, I mean, like you said, this episode is very special, mm-hmm. and we are actually celebrating a special month, which recognizes the history of people within the LGBTQ community that has made a difference. Yes. And we've also had days that recognize our community as well. Mm-hmm. Just to let you guys know
the background
of the History Month for LGBTQ plus is a teacher who started it in 1994 by the name of Rodney Wilson, a high school teacher in Missouri, believed that there should be a month that was like dedicated to teaching gay and lesbian history.
I like that. A whole ass month.
Right? I mean, not only do we have October, we also have June too.
Yeah. But I feel like June is more...
It's more a celebration of pride, of who you are.
Right.
This one is more dedicated to like the history and...
How we got there.
Yeah.
Yeah. October is also Hispanic Heritage Month, which I've been corrected over and over and over and over that it's Latinx Heritage Month, which I agree with, but it is hard for me to always remember that.
To adjust to the new word.
Yes.
I know, me too. But that's another episode for another day.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to have my boy Curly. He's probably listening to this like, oh my God, Jose. But I'm going to have him come here and talk about that. Because that's a whole another episode regarding Latinx and using specific words to not offend people. But what are the other days that are special about October?
Well, there is a day that's dedicated to Sexual Awareness Day, or Asexual Awareness Day, I'm sorry. We also have Intersex Awareness Day, National Latinx AIDS Awareness Day, and we just recently celebrated GLAAD's Spirit Day and National Coming Out Day. So
that's a lot of like sex days. Well, must be gay holidays.
Right?
So why is it important to talk about these days? I mean, I understand it for us, right? It's kind of like reminders. You know, it's kind of like celebrating each individual alphabet from LGBTQ+.
Everything.
But I feel like it's more for like the straights to get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, there's always the question from the straight community that like, why do you guys need these days? Why do you have these days? Why can't we have straight day? Well, you know, it's there for a specific reason, because there's a struggle in coming out and telling our stories. There's so much heartache and turmoil, but at the same rate, there's a lot of power behind it and resilience within the community, you know? And it's really hard to find out who you are at the end of the day. That's what we're here for, finding our purpose and who we are and living our authentic selves.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why these are called awareness days. It's because a lot of these communities are marginalized and a lot of these communities are, you know, overlooked.
Especially when we are people of color, you know, we're Latino. We live in a culture that's very machista. But I mean, that's predominantly what it's about. Like in other cultures, it's not okay to be gay. And it's mostly based off of religious backgrounds and beliefs. And it's really hard for people to come to terms with it and to accept it. But now that we have social media and it's in the media on a daily basis, I mean, the youth still has a struggle, but Not as much as we did back.
I think because just being gay has become more mainstream. I mean, some of the most popular shows on TV, some of the most popular artists mm-hmm. on the radio, some of the most popular influencers on social media, designers on the runway. I mean, you name the industry, there's a gay taking over.
Exactly. And it's not just arts and entertainment. We also have doctors, lawyers, judges, teachers, mm-hmm. everything. There's a gay everywhere in every job source. And speaking about, you know, like coming out, we talked about it briefly in some episodes, but we never really got the chance to really dive in to our stories. And I really wanted to bring that out and just let people know about who we are. You know, like how we struggled and what we faced. And
yeah, we got a lot of feedback from our launch episode of our season two, if you want to call it. People just want to know more about Eric and his background.
More about Jose and his background and who yeah. he is.
Not just like what we're up to nowadays, but like what brought us to this point. And I think it's time to tell our coming out stories.
It's time to come out again. So we're going to go ahead and take a little break, guys. And when we come back, we're going to dive right in and let you know what Spirit Day is all about and National Coming Out Day is all about. You're listening to the Homo Homie Podcast. And we're back from the break.
Someone told me that
this time I faded out.
Someone told me that they kept listening to our podcast for that little musiquita.
No way, really?
What is it? Dead mariachi?
It's called the dead mariachi music. So we're back and we are talking about coming out day, Spirit Day, and what it's all about. And, you know.
So Spirit Day is more about anti-bullying. The GLAAD organization really supports it. And that organization is all about fighting for gay rights in the media and just making sure that we have positive representation of LGBTQ community in the media, meaning like journalism, the news, entertainment, television, you name it.
Yeah. And in order to support that day, they always advocate to wearing purple, something yes. purple, anything purple. So yes. it's like really cute, you know, yeah. they're like some grapes up in that mix.
Grape juice. Looking like a uva.
But there has been a 2019 National School Climate Survey done by the GLSEN.org. And did you know that 49% of LGBTQ students have experienced cyberbullying? Also, 86% of the LGBTQ students reported hearing homophobic remarks from teachers, classmates, and even counselors, sometimes on the campus.
I know that happened to me for sure.
Right. And then also 2 in 5 LGBTQ students of color were bullied or harassed based on race or ethnicity.
Man, did that ever happen to you, by the way?
Any of this
happened in school? I know you went to like an all girls Catholic school.
So. Oh yes, I did. And I had a little mini skirt and a tube top. Yeah, okay, no, great. Pigtails, girl. No, I mean, it never actually really happened to me. I experienced like some of it here and there.
I have a better question.
What?
Did you ever bully somebody? Keep it real.
Okay, there was this one time.
At band camp?
Actually on the handball court. One of the girls, it was a girl.
You were like, you throw like a girl.
And she ended up throwing the ball at me. And I went over and I ran and I actually slapped her. Like, I don't know why, I just slapped her.
Was that like lesbian on lesbian crime?
Most likely, but no. It's nothing to laugh at. I'm so sorry, guys. But I'm just saying, like.
No,
I'm
keeping it real.
It was. Yeah, it's something that I just got used to as growing up as a sibling because we always used to fight. I grew up with like 7, 8 brothers and sisters, and I also had my cousins around. So
when you slapped her, was that like your coming out story?
No.
No? Okay, tell us your coming out story.
My coming out story?
I really want to get into that.
Oh, man. Well, I've always knew I was gay. I always had a hard time trying to figure out, you know, when to come out to my parents. I was always comfortable with my sexuality, you know, like who I was. And I was trying to figure it out because I always saw my dad, you know, and he would talk about, oh, do you have a girlfriend? And, you know, like wait till you get older and you have a wife and kids and or girlfriends. And I never really processed it, you know, because I know he was a player. We always went over to my half brothers and sisters, you know, baby's mama's house, and we would have barbecues and chill out there. My mom would be there chilling with, you know, the ex-girlfriend or the ex-wife. So it was actually, you know, pretty interesting.
That was a player.
Okay. So he had it like that. But my mom was a strong woman and she, you know, she put up with it. So, you know, I love my mom for that.
Rest in peace to your mom and dad.
Rest in peace, mom and dad. And, you know, they provided a lot. And I'm glad when I finally got to that moment and opportunity to telling him about me, they were hesitant.
How old were you?
I was 19.
Okay.
So I actually came out in school first to my peers to prep for everything, just to make sure I had an outlet to, you know, go to somebody's house. I got my maletas, you know, my bags. Mm-hmm. And
were you running for like homecoming queen?
No.
I'm just asking.
So yeah, I had all my bags ready to go, ready to run out of the house. So what ended up,
because you assumed that they were going to kick you out.
I did.
So you were in high school when you came out?
Yeah.
Or were you in college?
I was, okay, to friends, high school, to my mom and dad and family, college.
Okay.
So I had just started college.
And were you living in dorms or were you living at home?
I was living at home.
Okay. So there was a possibility that your parents could kick you out like homeless-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I could that have was been the concern.
Living in a car or whatnot.
Right.
But again, I had that backup.
And how did they react when you came out?
It was the opposite for me. So you know how usually dads get pissed off or they like shutting or they like, oh, they disown you right away.
Mm-hmm.
In my household, it was my mom. She was more upset. I came home. I was dating somebody. And
a guy or a girl?
A guy. I was starting to date a guy.
What's his name?
I'm not going to say it. Okay, Justin. Justin. And I was seeing him. I met him through the chats of the AOL days.
Ooh.
And
Men for men.
Oh, gosh. And I went to go visit him. And so I would come back home late at night, like 4 or 5 in the morning. And my mom had already been fed up with it. She's like, what are you doing? I'm all like, what do you mean? She's all like, well, why are you coming home so late? Did you get somebody pregnant? You know, are you doing drugs? Are you drinking? Are you drinking and driving? Everything. She asked me everything except for being gay. I was like, oh my God. All right, this is it. This is my moment. And I ended up crying. I got frustrated and scared. My heart was pounding and I just blurted it out. Hey, I'm gay, mom. I'm gay. I'm seeing a guy and I'm gay. And the look on her face was just like heartbroken. Like she didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to say. She was in shock. And then we both started crying and I made a commotion and I was getting my bags and I told her, you know, mom, you know what? I'm just going to leave. I'm going to go. You won't see me again. And she didn't know, like she was still in shock that she couldn't talk. And then my dad came out in his, you know, underwear, typical, you know, Mexican family.
Okay. Like Selena movie.
Right. And he's all, what's going on? What's happening? He's all asleep, you know, why are you guys yelling? I'm like, well, I'm leaving dad. I'm like, what's going on? Why? Where are you going? Why? I'm like, dad, I'm gay. Oh, that's it? Oh, just go back to sleep. We'll talk about it tomorrow morning. I was like, what?
He's like, I've been though.
All right.
Well, I've been seeing you at the mall.
Well, my dad had all boys and like one girl out of all the relationships, out of all my brothers and sisters.
He's like, statistically, so one of them is going to be queer.
Right. So, and my mom had 3 boys and 1 girl.
Jesus, you got so many brothers.
Right. So that's what ended up happening. We ended up waking up the next morning. I stood home. We woke up the next morning. We talked about it. And my mom just was just like, you know what? Was it something that I did? I was like, no. Something. Did anybody do anything to you? No. Okay. All right. She thought, I still love you. But I'm going to have to get used to it and just learn. I was like, all right. And then ever since that day, we had a really good, a better bond.
Like closer.
Yeah. And we had a lot more communication with each other. So it was good. I mean, it wasn't
communication
bad.
Like whenever you needed to, you know, borrow a pair of heels.
Well, I used to do that when I was little. Anyways, I used to go through the closet and take out her like old 1970s platforms and Daisy Dukes. She had apple bottoms.
You still have them.
But, right? No. But my mom, I love my mom. I really do. You never want to disappoint your parents, and you don't ever want to see them hurt. Especially for me, when growing up, my mom and dad were both sick, and I didn't want to like be a causing factor to their death. And you know, like, oh my God, why did they die? Oh, because I told them I was gay. That was another issue with me that I really couldn't come out because I didn't want them to croak.
And nowadays, how are you dealing with their death? I know it's not related to this, but I want to know because I'm going to ask you a follow-up question.
You're going to make me cry. I miss them. I really do. Because I need them with so much. I need them for a lot of guidance, you know, for a lot of things that now that I'm approaching my 40s, I'm starting to realize, like, what they went through, you know, raising us. And I'm taking care of my niece. If you guys, if those who are listening have been following us, you know, I'm raising my niece. And it's a journey.
Well, she has the best gunkle.
Yeah. You know, trying to make the best out of every situation. But yeah, I mean, I've dealt with it. And I have a lot of ease from the situation at hand and how they passed, you know, but I really do miss them. And I wish they were here to guide me a little bit better, but I know they're guiding me in spirit. So.
And do you feel like before their passing, they were fully had accepted your gayness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They met my ex-boyfriends. Oh, man. It was, you know what? My dad really stepped up to the plate for one of my exes who just, you know, mentally abused me and one time physically abused me.
Your dad was like, I'll fuck him up.
Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No. We came home from the club and we were drunk. And then my dad came home from working, but he went to the bar. So he came home drunk too.
I wonder who you get it from.
Right? And then my mom was cooking for all of us.
Because you know we're going to the bar after this episode.
And then my dad at the table told my ex, like, do you love my son?
Wait, is this Justin?
No, this is somebody else. Justin, yeah, Justin was...
Okay. Sorry, it's because you're
Justin turned into a friend. He was a good acquaintance and friend. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah, he told my ex, he's all like, do you love my son? He's all like, he hesitated. He's all, if you ever put your hands on my son and I ever see him come home with marks, I have a rifle right under the bed. He had two rifles actually under the bed. And then he had a pistol in the closet. So he's all like, I have a rifle under the bed. Don't fuck with my son.
And you heard him say this?
Yeah.
And would you ever say this to your son?
Oh yeah. I would protect my child. Like I'm taking care of my niece. I protect her. I tell her the same thing, you know, don't let nobody mess with you. Cause if they mess with you, they're going to mess with me too. And they're going to find out who I am.
I'm scared, y'all. I'm so scared.
And that's my coming out story. So
I don't know if I can follow that up.
Well, you know what? Let's take a little break. Let's relax. And we're going to come back with Jose's story because I really want to know his story. And interesting.
I feel like you're getting me drunk to tell this.
And you got yourself drunk, hon. What are you talking about?
You purchased these.
No, I didn't. That's what I told you. Let's not drink before the podcast. All right, guys. You're listening to the Homo Homie podcast with Eric V and Jose R. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back, and we are nice and relaxed and ready for Jose's story and for him to tell us about his coming out situation.
My situation is so complicated.
Do tell, girl. Spill that tea.
Spill this Four Loko.
Let me take a sip of my 14% alcohol volume Four Loko.
I can't believe I just admitted that I'm drinking a Four Loko. So my story is very short, but it's so interesting because I've always felt like my parents know. Mm-hmm. And I think moms always know that their sons, you know, or daughters are queer.
That intuitive gut feeling.
Yeah, like I just feel like moms always know. And so growing up, a little background, my father is like super toxic masculinity, like super macho, mm-hmm. tattoos, every inch of his body, like fully.
Ooh, can I meet your father?
He lives in Mexico now. I think he has my name tattooed like 5 times. It's weird. Guns, all that. Violence, gangs, all that. Locked up, all that.
Dang, cartel status.
Yeah. And I don't know if he's going to ever listen to this, but I don't really don't care because that's the truth. Hey, you know, that's his life and we can't change that.
Yeah.
And so my mother, on the other hand, is super religious. Not super religious like nun, but we were raised Pentecostal.
Oh.
So for those that are listening, you guys know that it's a form of Christianity and it's really strict. But I actually love it. Like, I had such a good time growing up in the church. And
were you an altar boy or what?
I mean, I might have got touched up a little bit.
Did she like handing out the bread or drinking the wine?
No, for the record, I never got touched as an altar boy.
Oh.
But yeah, I was always like, you know, in that Sunday school vibe. It was because I was always challenging the pastor's wife. She was the one that was teaching the class. And I wouldn't miss a Sunday. And I would always challenge like the verses in the Bible. And I feel like I always, like on the internet or something, I would research the verses that had to do with like being homosexual. And I was just waiting for that to make the syllabus. And I don't think I ever did, actually. And now that I think about it, she probably knew that I was gay too and was trying to avoid that subject. Because I know like conversion therapy is like a thing. And I don't know if that, you know, would have been my path, which I know we're going to talk about later in a little bit. But yeah, so I grew up with a super macho dad and a religious mom. And you can tell I'm stalling on my story because I don't want to get to it.
he's shaking in his boots, but he loves a good rebuttal. That's why he was waiting. You should have been a lawyer, girl.
Really?
You'd make a good lawyer.
A liar. hold on, let me take a little sip. So yeah, I never really had the conversation with my family about being gay. I just never, ever did. And I have, I think, 4 brothers and a sister. And I moved out of the house when I was 18 and I moved to Miami for college and all that. And I spent all my 20s there and I moved to LA when I was 30. And still, through all of that moving and school and career and all these accomplishments that I've had, we've never crossed that bridge. And I always felt like, you know what? I know that coming out is such a headache in terms of like stress and anxiety and depression. And trust me, like I read all up on that. I mean, I work in LGBT marketing. I work in Hispanic marketing. I know how hard it is. So even me as educating myself, I myself, you know, preaching.
But you're like so involved right now, like with social media and stuff like that. Like, how do you even like keep that from your family if you're like so well known?
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm super involved. And so I'm also like super protective of my quote unquote brand from my family.
Ah.
You know, so my family doesn't have me on Instagram, mm-hmm. you know, or Snapchat or Twitter. They have me on Facebook, but I never really post.
How well do you know they don't have you on other social media?
I mean, this is one of the things about being in the closet.
It's your like, mom tells your brother to make a ghost account and like all of a sudden she finds out.
I check everybody that follows me for this exact reason. Damn. This is part of the struggle.
There you go.
So yeah, I always felt like I don't want to tell my mom because the first thing she's going to ask is about like a relationship or the future or what do I have planned? You know, so I was like, why would I come out to my mom if I'm like not even dating somebody?
Yeah.
Why don't I wait till I find somebody that's super respectful and that I could bring home to mom type of thing? And that actually hasn't happened yet. So I was like, man, that day is never going to come. Until recently, I got a phone call from a friend who was working with a producer for a TV show for Un Nuevo Día on Telemundo, which is like the Hispanic version of Good Morning America or something like that. It's like
It's major. It's major. Yeah, news. It's like a major Latinx news outlet. Deal. Yeah.
And so she was like, can we interview on TV? And I said yes before even knowing what it was about. And she's like, it's for Spirit Day. And I was like, oh, sure. Like, that, I love that cause. Like, I'm all about anti-bullying, especially when it comes to LGBT. And she's like, yeah, like, they know about your podcast and, like, you're doing amazing things with Eric and all these things. And I was like, sure. And so they put me on a panel with
two other people that are doing a big difference also in the community in regards to anti-bullying. One of them was Monica Trasandes. She is the director of media for GLAAD. She's a Latina that works there. And I've met her before in the past, so it was really cool to see her be part of the panel. And they also invited Charlie Ruiz Vasquez, who's now an activist, and she is someone who had suffered, you know, from bullying and had went through that in her childhood, and her parents are now super supportive, so she was able to tell that story.
Mm. And they had us on TV to discuss Spirit Day, and literally the night before we filmed the segment, because it was live, I decided that I was going to come out.
Yay! I'm so excited because I saw that segment, guys.
Oh. I decided that I was going to come out to my mom, my family, my parents on national television live on Uno Bodia on Telemundo.
In a culture that's so machista, like, you came out on that platform.
Yeah, I came out on a very Hispanic platform. But you know what? The cast and crew from that show now, they're very open and very diverse and very inclusive. As a matter of fact, Francisco is one of the hosts on that show, and he himself is LGBT. And Adamari Lopez is another one of the hosts, and she's awesome, and she supports several causes. And I've met her before, and she's such a sweetheart. And also Cheeky Baby from LA, our girl. So, yeah, so I was like, sure, I'll do this interview. And I prepared my answers. They asked me, like, what does it feel like to be a gay Latino in the U.S.? So I talked about that, and I talked about how we can also raise our rainbow flags along with our Mexican flags, our U.S. flag, our Central American flags.
Hell yeah.
You know, like, whatever your race is or ethnicity or, you know, whatever makes you proud, it's okay to be that and LGBT. And so the other question that they asked me is regarding this podcast. They were like, you actually co-host a podcast that is about these topics and about this community, and your family probably doesn't really accept you. How do you feel about that? And what do you have to say to parents? And so that's why I felt like that was the perfect time for me to address this.
Yeah.
So my advice was that for parents to find a way to get closer to their kids on a deeper level, because bullying, regarding Spirit Day, bullying is not just what you see on TV and in the movies where the kid gets shoved into the lockers. Bullying can start at home. As a matter of fact, parents could be bullies. You know, sometimes
siblings can be bullies. Yes, relatives can be bullies. Neighbors, anyone.
Yeah, because you don't know who under the roof that you're in identifies as LGBT, and so you don't know whose feelings you're hurting mm-hmm. by making homophobic remarks. And that's the type of household that I grew up in.
Yeah.
This is something that I've never said publicly, but I remember one time in the living room, it's going to kill me to say this. My dad was watching some show, like Sally Jesse Raphael type of show or Ricky Lake type of show.
Dang, taking it way back, girl.
Yeah. And they were doing like a panel on My Kid Is Gay, Now What? Like, that was the name of the show, segment. My Kid Is Gay, Now What? And, you know, they had these confrontations of, like, these LGBT kids and their parents, and then they fought, right? And they threw chairs at each other. Yeah. Like Jerry Springer style.
Okay.
And so I remember my dad making a comment saying, like, if I ever had a gay kid, I would get rid of him myself.
Oh, shit.
And so that has stuck with me since then.
Yeah, that's like a traumatizing trigger point in your life that, like, it's stuck with you, and so you've held it for so long.
Literally every day.
Yeah.
Every day. I can't think of a day that I don't think about that statement. you know? And I talked to my dad. You know, me and my dad didn't have the best relationship growing up. And my parents are divorced. And my mom, she still lives in Texas. And my father lives in Mexico. And we stay in touch. And, you know, I help support my father. And I do love my father. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, too, is that sometimes our parents are not the best when it comes to having queer, you know, kids, queer children. But we still love them.
Yeah.
Like, we still accept them for even for having those flaws. Because I understand that they come from a different generation, from an
right.
older generation.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not just so much it's not so much a flaw, it's just they've been predisposed and taught by years of generations, like you just said, of you know, like not accepting that. And it's wrong.
They didn't grow up with the resources that we have now.
Yeah.
There's so many organizations for parents now with gay kids. You know? And so that statement that my father made has always stuck for me forever. And till this day, October 2020, I still get little side comments from family members asking me about where them bitches at.
You know? Where them hoes at.
Yeah, like, hey, what's up? And they're like, how's living in LA? And I'm like, oh, it's all good. And they're like, oh, you must be surrounded by bitches.
Who's the hyena of the week?
Yeah, and I'm like, well, part of that is true, but they're not necessarily female.
Right? There's some vatos up in that mix. Hey.
It's a different episode. Okay. So yeah, that's my situation. And that's literally how I came out. I came out on national TV, on Hispanic television. And it was very impactful. And my family hasn't reacted necessarily, but I'm okay with that. Because maybe no reaction is a good reaction. I don't know. I think that there's going to be other moments in my life that are going to be even bigger. For example, you know, finding the love of my life.
Yeah.
You know, getting proposed to or proposing or something like that. Or going to the altar. Like, you know, like if you're going to send out your wedding invitations, are you not going to invite your parents? Are you not going to invite your siblings like that you're not out to?
Well, you just came out. So, I mean, it's going to take some time for them to process, you know, right. Like it's like, oh, well, how do I approach it? Well, what do I say? Like, do I hit them up? Like, I'm pretty sure that's what every parent's reaction is, because that's what I told you earlier. My mom and dad, my dad wasn't so much surprised as my mom was. And she was just questioning, what did she do wrong, you know? So it's going to take some time, but at the end of the day, it will be rewarding if they accept it and they start learning about who you are and embrace you, you know, and love you and accept it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I love you and I accept you.
Thank you.
Because you're my sister.
And I know that you cook really good.
Yes,
and I can crash on your couch.
And I know how to throw a party with Four Locos.
Oh, shit. I was telling a friend that the reason why I don't want to come out, or I didn't want to come out, was because I always feel like in my life, if I ever become a failure, and I define failure, you know, we all define failure differently.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what if I lose my job? What if I go bankrupt? What if I go homeless? What if I get kicked out or something like that? I always have my family and back home, like back in Texas,
to rely on.
Yeah. It's like my lifeline. It's like in the back of the stove, but it's there. It may not be the best option, but, but it's there. It's like guaranteed. That's blood, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't want to get rid of that guarantee.
Yeah. And but so that's why. You work so hard though. Like I can never see you like, but then, you know, like, then again, you're right. You never know. Situations can
we just got hit with the pandemic.
It's true. Shit.
I almost went home.
Oh my God. Yeah. And they said that by the end of October, it's going to get worse. But let's knock on wood, girl. Well, I'm glad you came out. And you came out big. Nationally, publicly. So you did your thing. And now we just got to wait and see how your family reacts. And I wish you nothing but the best. So,
and I also want to address all our new listeners because they did talk about our podcast on Un Nuevo Día. So thank you to New Concept Public Relations and my friend Fabiola there and Claudia, the producer of the show, and Francisco, one of the hosts, and Adamari and Chiqui Baby and everybody that was involved in this moment. I just want to say thank you. Because it was the perfect platform to come out in, especially in within the Spirit Day talks, you know?
Yeah.
And I hope that that was very inspiring and motivating to the youth that was watching or to the parents that are dealing with LGBT kids.
Yeah. And especially when we also, like we said, celebrated National Coming Out Day, like, come out when you're ready, you know, come out when it's your time and when you feel it's right. And with that being said, we'll be right back. We're going to take a break. All right, and we're back again.
We wiped away all our tears.
Wiped away the tears, the sweat, and ready to come back in with our final thoughts and let you know, like, how life has been for us after coming out. And for me, it's been amazing. I've had no issues. I have no problems. Thank God. You know, it's just, I have a bubbly personality. I get along with people. And you've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't force my sexuality on anybody. I mean, it's just when I'm with somebody, it's out of just with my straight counterparts. It's out of respect, out of fun, out of love. We banter back and forth and they treat me like little brother slash little sister. But at the end of the day, they love me for who I am, including my family. They love me for who I am. They accept me and they know that I'm comfortable with my sexuality and that I'm doing great things and that I'm just being productive in life, you know, and I'm not letting life get me down.
And that is hashtag goals, because I just came out. So I haven't experienced the aftermath of living my authentic self, but I hope that it is full of positivity. I have my arms wide open to all the possibilities. It's a weight lifted off my shoulders. And, you know, I still have faith in God that he will guide me. And, you know, I just pray for blessings on blessings.
And they will come, girl. You just put it out to the universe.
By the way, I know that we were talking about our coming out stories, but have you ever heard of conversion therapy?
Yes, I have. I think it's more in the religious sector where they send you like away and they send you,
could
like,
you imagine a therapist one of us?
And they try to convert you.
Wow. But do they have success rates? Like,
I don't even know. I don't think so.
Because in the movies, everybody runs away.
Yeah. And it just makes it worse. Yeah. And they end up getting, well, there was a survey done, right? A national survey on the LGBTQ youth mental health out of like 34,000 respondents. They say that 39% of LGBTQ youth seriously considered attempting suicide in the past year.
That is so sad.
Yeah. 71% of LGBTQ youth reported feeling sad or hopeless in the past year.
Wait, I just said sad.
Yeah, you did. And 2 in 3 LGBTQ youth reported that someone tried to convince them to change their sexual orientation or gender identity.
Wow.
Hence conversion therapy. So it sucks, dude. Like, seriously, like, being in the closet, it's the hardest thing. But once you get it out there, once you really truly find out who you are, own it. You know, just be proud of it and make sure that you surround yourself with a good, strong support group. Find those friends, find that support group. That's yes. All you need. And
as gay people, we always find our family, our queer family outside of our blood family.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And that's why we have this hashtag, Homo Homies, because we support you. We're here for you. You know, it's a community of homosexuals who are friends with everybody in the community. And we just want to make sure that we make a safe, comfortable space for you to just be freely you.
Yeah. And for everybody listening that's thinking about coming out, I listen to a lot of podcasts literally about coming out and how to do it. And what happens when you do it. Don't feel pressure after listening to this episode. If you're not ready, it's totally okay. You will be ready when you're ready. Like, you're not on a deadline. You don't owe anybody an explanation. The right time will come when it's right for you. So please take your time and think it through. And yes, be prideful. Yes, we celebrate pride. Yes, we celebrate all these LGBT history month and holidays that we're talking about on this episode. But it's okay if you're in the closet and you're not ready yet. Your time will come.
Yep.
You were telling me about this website.
Yeah. And that's why we wanted to provide you guys with some resources and websites that provide like statistics and information for you to obtain. And one of them is thetrevorproject.org. very good website, which has a handbook to coming out. We also have glad.org and glsen.org. Check those out. See what's up. Get your info. And, you know, remember that we're always here to support you and help you out in any way, shape, or form that we can. And don't be afraid to hit us up in the DMs or hit us up on our social, okay? So you can look for us at the Homo Homie Podcast, or you can Google the Homo Homie Podcast.
Yes, we're on Deezer now.
Yes, Deezer. Hopefully, oh, I'm crossing my fingers that we get on iHeart, which we will. I know we will. And then also, what else is the other? Radio.com. And then we just got on Amazon too. So that was amazing. I'm super excited.
Yes. You guys, we don't belong to a podcast network. So everything that we do is like ourselves.
Yes. So. It's like when we see the approvals and we see that we look ourselves up, it's like goal after goal after goal after goal after goal. And it's just freaking amazing how we're accomplishing that. That's yes. It's so cool. It's like, I'm growing up. And I'm 37.
Eric, your parents would be super proud of you.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry. I hate you. You're going to do this again to me. All right, guys, we're gonna go before I start really going off with the tears. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jose. Again, congratulations. I'm proud of you, babe. And I love you. I'm here for you. And thank you for being my co-host. So, and again, listeners, thank you so much. Be proud, be strong, our straight community. Be allies, support, and get that info. We're out, okay? I love you. Bye.
Bye, guys.